Okay, so you're president of the United States. You think I'm impressed?
I come here not to dispute the suggestion that I haven't yet achieved enough in my life. First of all, Michelle concurs with that assessment. She has a long list of things that I have not yet done, waiting for me when I get home.
Yikes, Michelle Obama's to-do list. The president delivered some powerful motivation to Arizona State University graduates yesterday. Advice for the newly minted. Pomp in these circumstances. Commencing now on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Thursday, May 14th. I'm John Hockenberry, riding solo, sort of, although Femi Okay is here with me.
Good morning.
Good morning, Femi. Coming up this hour, we do the math on the economic stimulus so far. Is this the beginning of a new era of military cooperation with Pakistan? We're going to take a look at that. Also, the woes of being a Chrysler dealer in these days. New dealership closures are expected this week. Those stories coming up, but first, these headlines. And in the headlines, civil rights campaigners are calling on President Obama to release more photos of prisoner abuse by U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. The president said yesterday that their release would be of no additional benefit. Jamil Jaffer is a lawyer for the ACLU.
They would provide further evidence that, abuse was a matter of policy and not simply the result of the actions of rogue soldiers. So we think that these photographs are critical to the historical record. We think that the public has a right to see them.
Jaffer says the decision not to disclose the photos is inconsistent with the president's promise of transparency. Meanwhile, the Obama administration is expected to announce additions to its mortgage plan today. New measures offer more assistance for homeowners. Borrowers may be able to avoid foreclosure by selling their properties or returning them to lenders. Femi Okey is here with some more headlines. Good morning, Femi.
Hello there, John. The Obama administration is also seeking the authority to regulate complex financial instruments such as credit swap derivatives. Peter Morici, an economics professor at the University of Maryland, says that more oversight is needed.
A bank holds your mortgage. It can buy a derivative, which is an insurance policy that if you fail, it gets paid part of its loss. They are used to permit investors to buy mortgages in large amounts but not bear the full risk.
The administration asked Congress yesterday to push through legislation that would allow federal regulation. North Korea has set a trial date for two American journalists accused of entering the country illegally. They will be tried on June the 4th for what North Korea describes as hostile acts. The journalists were detained near the Chinese border in March while researching a story about North Korean refugees.
Pope Benedict is in Nazareth today, celebrating a huge outdoor mass with thousands of Christians. A couple of big economic indicators due out later this morning. We learned the number of jobless claims from last week, as well as last month's producer price index. Here's a big number. Japan electronics giant Sony announced an annual loss of $1 billion, the first net loss in 14 years. Every Asian market is down this morning. Key indices in Japan and Hong Kong down around 3%. A tough day on Wall Street yesterday. The S&P starts trading at 884. So graduation commencement speeches. Tell us your favorite memorable advice that you got as a graduate listening to a commencement speaker. We're going to take a look at some commencement speeches of note later on in the program. But call us with your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. So Barack Obama spoke at the commencement at Arizona State University yesterday. We're going to be playing some tape of that all morning long. But we want to invite you to give a commencement address to the graduates of 2009 as well at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. Step up to the mic, call us, give some advice to those grads, or tell us a story of a commencement, a nugget of wisdom that you took away from your graduation and commencement maybe many years ago. In my case, it was many years ago. So we begin with economics this morning from the standpoint of the Washington stimulus package, the $787 billion economic stimulus package. And evaluating it is actually difficult, partly because of the scale and partly because of the politics involved. In his first quarterly report to the president, Vice President Joe Biden, who you may remember is actually in charge of implementing the stimulus package. Anyway, the report card released yesterday gave the Obama administration an A+. Big surprise. Well, in any case, the report says immediate financial relief has gone to Americans and billions of dollars has gone into job creating projects. Well, evaluating the stimulus package is something of a numbers racket, and we want to get into that this morning. But it's also something of a confidence game as well. The sort of psychological meters of the marketplace and the economy are as important as some of the numbers. And here to explore both of those ways of evaluating this stimulus package and what needs to be done next is Simon Johnson, former chief economist of the International Monetary Fund. He's a professor at the MIT Sloan School of Management, and he's co-founder of the Baseline Scenario blog and writes the economics blog at the NewYorkTimes.com, NYTimes.com, which you can take a look at, and he actually has a post this morning. Andrea Bernstein, of course, our friend, takeaway correspondent, and director of our Shovel Watch program. Good morning to both of you.
Hi. Good morning.
Andrea, let me begin with you. If we evaluate this on the basis of numbers, where do we begin?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, it's sort of like this particular report, this first quarterly report, you know, on sort of the PR meter, it's really going into the red. Everything is used to really say, wow, this is great. Now, you know, we can ask our economist friend in a second. I'm not an economist. And I do know, as the more I learn about
I assure you, Simon will have plenty to say. Yes.
Of economy. You know, I realize that part of it is making people feel happy, because when they feel happy, they'll go out and buy stuff.
Well, but the percentages here are kind of alarming. I was looking at some of the numbers yesterday. How much has been spent?
6% has actually been spent in the States.
Feels
and,
small.
So, I mean, when you look at this gushing report, I mean, you'll find things like $88 billion have been obligated. Well, you know, that's Washington speak. That means that, yes, we've promised we'll spend that. It doesn't mean it's actually gone out into jobs. I mean, you know, the tax cuts, Biden says, well, they started to go into effect within weeks. Well, yeah, within 6 weeks, which, you know, isn't normally what you think. But the money is getting out there slowly, and you know, every poll says that people are feeling a little better, and you know, I found that on the streets. That is important, but you know, in terms of actual jobs created or saved, this report acknowledges that, you know, the numbers on that, the direct jobs created, are not measurable at this point. They're just beginning to ask the states to do that. But they are sticking by their estimate of 150,000 jobs created or saved in the first 100 days of the administration. And they're now saying there's going to be 600,000 jobs in the next 100 days. So, you know, they're giving themselves a great report card, patting themselves on the back. I was actually speaking last night with the vice president's office, trying to find out which sectors these 100,000 jobs have been created or saved in. And other than, you know, state governments not having to fire people, because this is what a lot of the money went for.
So it's a little fuzzy.
They're still not saying. Yeah, so, yeah. Well, we'll get back to you on that.
All right. Well, Simon, if we look at the confidence meter here, there are some signs in the credit markets particularly that things have begun to turn around.
Absolutely. I think actually Joe Biden's team is being somewhat modest. I'm a critic of the administration on many points, don't get me wrong. But I think the fiscal stimulus has really helped to restore confidence in the credit markets. Now, that confidence is precarious. You can undermine it if you really mess up down the road. But I think we may have turned the corner on the crisis, which is really quite an achievement.
Economically speaking, though, Simon, is this like for a 6% down payment, we've gotten $787 billion of bang for our economic policy?
Yes, it is, actually. And the key thing is that, you know, it's all in the works. Torpedoes in the water is sometimes the expression used. You know that the money's coming. You can be, you know, you feel confident that you can spend money, you can hire people or not fire people, I guess, is the key right now. And so it helps to restore confidence. But the most important thing is it tells you the government would be willing to do more if necessary in terms of public spending to offset any further decline in private spending.
So there does appear to be a backstop in place, and the banks are counting on that, and that's helping them to feel more secure, and it is encouraging people to move into the economy. But, Andrea, the politics of this stimulus package are kind of interesting in the sense that the administration has created an argument for Republicans to actually resist some of this spending. Explain.
Well, you know, I mean, the Republicans have been resisting it really on political grounds. And as a matter of fact, yesterday in Louisiana, the legislature was unable to override Governor Jindal's saying that he was going to reject the unemployment money in that state.
Remind us exactly how that works. It's stimulus money that goes to what?
Well, it both increases the amount of the benefits by $25 a week, and also it extends it out over time. And, you know, last week, as you know, I was in North Carolina, and I was talking to workers who said very directly that that unemployment extension was keeping people in the construction industry sort of afloat, you know, and alive and spending and you know, part of the economy until what they hope are jobs that are created. So, but you know what the Republicans have done is sort of, in many cases, just sort of reacted to all kinds of spending, reacted to, you know, this notion of the country going into debt. I mean, I think what their reckoning is going to be is, you know, in sort of in 3 more years from now, if the economy, you know, is in fact gearing up, you know, their reckoning is going to have to be, you know, were they on the right side of opposing it?
Right.
So far, polls suggest that they are not.
Right.
That, you know, most of the American people are both sort of grateful for the things they have gotten, like increased unemployment, the tax cuts, and you know, what they are hoping will come. But you know, I have a question for Simon Johnson. I'm wondering, the 150,000 jobs created or saved, the 600,000 coming, still trying to, you know, I've combed through the administration's reports. They had 2 reports out on this week, and I can't figure out where those jobs are coming in. And I'm wondering if you can help us figure that out.
I think that's a tough one. You know, the big issue is the indirect effect. So it's the fact that somebody doesn't lose a job and then they go out and they spend money in the coffee shop or they buy clothes that they wouldn't have bought. And that's very complicated to figure out. And, of course, it's the confidence effect. So the fact that it's not just banks, but much more broadly financial markets, not just in the United States, but also globally, have been reassured by this. So there's a lot of people who haven't lost their jobs. I completely agree that the math around the precise job saved is fuzzy and very much open to criticism. But the big picture is the overall financial situation is stabilizing.
Well, we should remind people that retail sales were down. Foreclosures hit a record. And that was announced this week. So there are some pretty rough waters out there. You talk about an intense crisis on the economics blog, Simon Johnson, and I just want to let people know that my wife has already IM'd me to say that I should stop talking about being smart because she knows differently. But Simon, please explain.
Well, I think the bigger picture is, of course, that we're in a very nasty recession. So even if we have turned the corner on the crisis and the panic phase, we're looking at the worst recession almost certainly since World War II. Unemployment getting up to 10%, could go up to 11%. And it's going to be a struggle to recover because, in part, I think the banks have not been handled particularly well. And there's lots of other issues that are still coming at us. So I don't at all want to play down the problems, and I do think doing a further fiscal stimulus on top of what we've already done would be premature. The extra bang for the buck you get after you've restored confidence from this kind of fiscal spending is pretty small. So, you know, let's be honest, there's a long haul ahead of us.
Well, the IMF says specifically that a stimulus package works in the beginning, but as you proceed and begin to turn around, then the money is absolutely wasted. Is that what you're saying?
Not wasted, but it gives you it shortens the recession a little bit. If you do throw a lot of money at the problem, then maybe you can shorten the recession by 1 or 2 quarters, according to their estimates. But, of course, you also run up the debt, and that's what Andrew is mentioning people are
right.
already starting to worry about. And the U.S. starts out with a medium level of government debt, about 40% of GDP held by the private sector. It'll go up to 60 to 70%, which is not good. That's
right.
Your future taxes, my future taxes.
And,
but as long as it doesn't go any further, I think we can live with that.
Right. I mean, that's the unsustainable debt point. Andrea, in 20 seconds, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I think one of the things is that there's still a lot of disappointment that the stimulus bill isn't doing more in terms of public works. Simon Johnson, is there anything that we need to say about that?
Fiscal spending happens slowly. That's always the problem with this kind of public policy. And that's why generally it's not a good idea. But at the moment, this measure was implemented January, February of this year. It was very helpful because of the confidence effect.
All right. Andrea Bernstein, takeaway correspondent, director of our Shovel Watch project. Simon Johnson writes for the economics blog at nytimes.com. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.